This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي نزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. وما توفيقنا ولا اعتصامنا إلا بالله، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. اللهم صل وسلم عليه وعلى آله أجمعين، وارض اللهم عن جميع الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل، ونسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته، ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته، ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته، ولا حاجة لك فيها رضا وهي لنا خير إلا قضيتها يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، dear beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we have the best religion that has the best da'wah and the best caller to Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the best teacher and the best to present us with his hadith, with his teachings. And from that, he had many different ways, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. And one of them is storytelling. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometime wanted to deliver a message, a meaning to this ummah, he would tell a story. And the stories that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not fables. They're not made up stories. لا ينطق عن الهوى. He never says anything that is not true. He would always tell stories that are real, things that actually happen, things that we can reflect upon and know it happened to people just like us, just like you and me. And in one of the stories that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a hadith that is narrated in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, a story that happened before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for those who were before us. The story was narrated in this hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates this story. And the Prophet said, صَلَوَاتُ رَبِّي وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ انْطَلَقَ ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ مِّمَّنْ قَبْلَكُمْ مِّمَّنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَتَّى آوَاهُمُ الْمَبِيتُ إِلَى غَارٍ فَدَخَلُوا. He is just telling a story about three people that were just traveling. And then nightfall came. And they wanted a place to shelter them for the night. And they found a cave. So they entered the cave. And the cave shelters people from rain, from cold. So they went into that cave and they wanted to spend the night in that cave. A true story. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَانْحَدَرَتْ صَخْرَةٌ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ فَسَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. While they're in the cave, a big rock, a boulder, descended down and closed the opening of that cave. The boulder so big, they can't do anything about it. So they were trapped in their own little shelter. The place that they wanted to seek safety and tranquility in for the night became a trap for them. Became a place that they were, that was their prison. So they tried what they could, but there was no moving of that boulder. So what do they do? Well, it happened that those three people were from the righteous people. People who have faith beyond their own physical ability. They had faith in what causes these things. And the only way out of these things, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they turned to Allah. And one of them said, لَا يُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الصَّخْرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَدْعُوا اللَّهِ. There is nothing that will save you from this boulder that traps you in, except to turn to Allah. What do we turn to Allah with? He said, بِصَالِحِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Turn to Allah and ask Him with the good things that you have done in your lives. You must have done something in your life that is good enough, so you ask Allah by that deed. And that's one of the benefits of this hadith, is we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in supplication, in dua, and نتوسل بصالح العمل. To ask Allah and intercede in our dua with our own good deeds, with our own صالح العمل. So they started. There were three of them, and each one of them wanted to dig down and look in his own sahaif, in his own sheets of deeds, to see what would save him from this trap. So the first one he said, Allahumma kana li abawan. Allahumma كان لي أبوان شيخان كبيران وكنت لا أغبق قبلهما أهلا ولا مالا. He said, I had two parents and they were elderly, and I used to take care of them, and I would not favor anyone before them, not my family, not my children, and not my business. لَأَغْبِقُ قَبْلَهُمَا أَهْلًا وَلَا مَالًا. مَالًا here doesn't mean I wouldn't put my money before my parents. I wouldn't put anything before them, even the thing that will bring my money to me, even my business. They were the most important thing for me. And لَأَغْبِقُ means I would never even give food or water or anything to any of my family before I give to my parents. فَنَا أَبِي طَلَبُ الشَّجَرِ يَوْمًا فَلَمْ أَرَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا حَتَّى نَامَا. He said, one day I was far for a business. I was way far from the house. So I did not reach the house, my own house, where my parents live, until they were already asleep. فَجْحَلَبْتُ لَهُمَا غُبُقُهُمَا. And said, I milked their dinner for them, and when I came to give them that milk, they're already asleep. And then he said, فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُقِضَهُمَا وأن أغبق قبلهما. I was in a dilemma. I did not want to wake them up because they're resting, and I did not want to use the milk even to save their share of it, because that my habit would be that they will do that first. That's how much this person honored his own parents. He said, I did not want to break that habit of mine. And then he said, فَلَبِثْتُ وَالْقَدَحُ فِي يَدَيْ. So I stood there at their door while they were sleeping, and the cup is in my hand, waiting all night long. أَنْتَظِرُ اسْتِيقَاظَهُمَا حَتَّى بَرِقَ الْفَجْرُ وَالصِّبْيَةُ يَتَضَاغُونَ عِنْدَ قَدَمِي. He said, my children were just right there by me. They're begging, they wanted to drink milk. And he's waiting till Fajr time for his parents to wake up. And then he said, فَاسْتَيْقَظَا, and then they woke up. فَشَرِبَا غَبُقَهُمَا, and they drank from that milk. اللهم, O Allah, إِن كُنْتُ فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ فَأَفْرِجْ عَنَّا مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الصَّخْرَ. If I did that, and listen to this sentence, because that's the key to that deed, ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ. If I did this only asking your face, meaning your pleasure, meaning it's only done not to show anyone how I love my parents, not to show anyone how I honor my parents, not to teach my children a lesson, all of these things are good. But he said, if I did this only for your sake, to seek your pleasure, if I was taking care of my parents to honor you, Allah, and to please you, O Allah, فَأَفْرِجْ عَنَّا مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ. So while he was making that dua, the boulder moved by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the opening of that boulder was not enough for any human being to get out. It moved a little bit. So the second one started. He said, Allahumma, O Allah, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لِبْنَةُ عَمْ كَانَتْ أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْ. I had a relative, a cousin of mine, and she was the most beloved of people to me. She was in love with that person. وَكُنْتُ, in another narration, كُنْتُ أُحِبُّهَا أَشَدُّ مَا يُحِبُّ الرِّجَالُ النِّسَاءُ. I loved her more than any man could love a woman. فَأَرَدْتُهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهَا فَامْتَنَعَتْ. And I wanted her, and she did not want me. She did not come to me. حَتَّى أَلَمَّتْ بِهَا سِنَةٌ مِنَ السِّنِينَ. Until a year of famine and poverty happened. A tough year. Bad time. فجاءتني, and he was a rich man. So she came to me asking me for help. فأعطيتها عشرين ومئة دينار. I gave her 120 dinars. Now, dinar, each dinar is a golden coin. Dinar is made out of gold. And at that time, if you think about 120 golden coins, a wealth of money, he just put right there before her. على, but there was a condition that he put there. And to خلي بيني وبين نفسها. To allow me to have her. فأبت. And she refused. Before that. But then when he gave her the 120 dinars, and she saw that wealth before her, and there was that famine and that hunger, and the poor woman had no choice. Because starvation and need is a very powerful thing. Ali radiallahu anhu said, لو كان الفقر رجلا لقتلته. Poverty is a very bad element. It can drive people to things that they usually don't do. So when she was offered all that wealth, And she was in a desperate need. ففعلت. She allowed him to come close to her. And then he said, حتى إذا قدرت عليها, but when I was just right there, ready, she said, اتق الله. Fear Allah. She had that one last plea, one last thing to say. And he was in full control at that time. She was given the money, she accepted it. It was a contract of a sort that she had to agree to. But then she had one last word to say to that person, and she said, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفُضَّنَّ الْخَاتِمَ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. Fear Allah. And don't take anything if it is not with that its due right. And he said, فَانْصَرَفْتُ عَنْهَا. When he was reminded with that, he said, I left her. وَهِيَ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ. And I still loved her more than anything else. وَتَرَكْتُ الذَّهَبَ الَّذِي أَعْطَيْتُهَا. And I left all that money for her. اللَّهُمَّ إِن كُنْتُ فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ فَأَفْرِجْ عَنَّا مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ فَانْفَرَجَتِ الصَّخْرَ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ الْخُرُوجِ. Oh Allah, if I did this only to please you. When he heard the word, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ الذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله. There are those righteous people. They can come close to a فاحشة or munkar, a lewd act, but then they remember Allah. واستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله. And he was at that point. And when she said, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, he left that only for the sake of Allah. And the boulder moved. But yet it was not enough for them to get out of that trap, that cave that they were in. So the third person started talking. Their last hope. And he said, إِنِّي اسْتَأْجَرْتُ أُجَرًا وَأَعْطَيْتُهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ غَيْرَ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ. He said, I hired people to work for me. And I paid everyone their rights, their fees, except one person. تَرَكَ الَّذِي ذَا لَهُ وَذَهَبْ. He did not, he wasn't there, and he left. He said, فَثَمَّرْتُ لَهُ أَجْرَهُ حَتَّى كَثُرَتْ مِنْهُ الْأَمْوَالِ. So I took that money that was his, and he didn't put it aside. He said, فَثَمَّرْتُ لَهُ. I invested in it. He's somebody who's a merchant, who's got a business, who's got a farm, whatever his business is. He knows that money, when you put it on the side, it's worthless. For money to really be of value, all business people know that, you have to put it in action. You have to make it grow. He said, so I started growing that money for him. And then he said, he came to me after a while. And he said, Ya Abdullah, أَدِّي إِلَيَّ أَجْرِي. Oh, slave of Allah, give me my fees. I need the money that when I remember when I worked for you way back then, I need my money. So he said, كُلُّ مَا تَرَى أَجْرُكَ. He showed him a big herd of cows and camels and sheep and slaves. He said, look at all of that. That's all yours. He said, Ya Abdullah, la tastahzi' bi. Oh, slave of Allah, don't mock me. Don't make fun of me. Just didn't know what he told me. He owed him just maybe a little bit, and now he's telling him all that wealth is yours. He said, Ya Abdullah, la tastahzi' bi. قَالَ لَا قُلْتُ لَا أَسْتَهْزِئُ بِكَ. The man is narrated. He said, I'm not joking with you. I'm not mocking you. This is yours. This is your money. And he told him what he did with it. He said, فَأَخَذَهُ كُلَّهُ. He took all of it. فَاسْتَاقَهُ فَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. He said, he took all of it. He didn't even leave me anything. You know, sometimes somebody worked for you. If you're investing in a retirement, there is fees. You know, somebody who invests something for you, you pay him part of it. He said, he took the whole thing. He didn't leave me anything. And that was fine with him. اللهم إن كنت فعلت ذلك ابتغاء وجهك فأفرج عنا ما نحن فيه. Oh Allah, if I did this only for your sake, only for your sake, not to be said I'm an honest man, not to be said I'm a rich man, not to be said that I'm a good businessman, only for your sake. فَأَفْرِجْ عَنَّا مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَانْفَرَجَتِ الصَّخْرَةِ. So the boulder fell down, وَخَرَجُوا يَمْشُونَ. And they left walking from that cave. This is a story of the Prophet ﷺ wanted this ummah to reflect upon. This was a story that he narrated and wanted us to think. And there's so many fawa'id, there's so many benefits from this story. There were three people in that cave. And they gave us three examples of righteous deeds that weigh a lot in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three deeds that are worth a lot, that Allah rewarded them with it and paid them in this life. And certainly, and hereafter, the first of them was Barran Biwalidayh. He was obedient and honored his parents. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, مَا أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالْ الصَّلَاةُ فِي وَقْتِهَا وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What are the beloved, most beloved deeds to Allah, O Prophet of Allah? He would say, As-salatu fi waqtiha, to pray in its salah in its time, wa birru al-walidain, honoring your parents, obeying your parents. And then al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Think about this. Putting your life on the line for the sake of Allah, birrul al-walidain comes before that. Putting your wealth, everything you have on the line for the sake of Allah, birrul al-walidain comes before that. Honoring parents come before that. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah ordained that you should worship none but Him. Tawheed, the essence of every religion of Islam, of every prophet of Allah, that's what they preached. Allah said that's what He ordained. And then what? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And to be good to your parents. If you believe in Allah, if you believe in La ilaha illallah, if you worship none but Allah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, then you should be good to your parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Allah says when they grow old, one of them or both of them, if Allah gave you the opportunity to have one or two of your parents available to you, and I say an opportunity, and may Allah give long lives to our parents, but it is an opportunity while they're with us. The Prophet ﷺ said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ عِنْدَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَيْهِمَا ثُمَّ لَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Woe to him, be dusted his nose, meaning that's the biggest loser. A person who reaches one of both of his parents in his life, and he doesn't enter paradise. What does that mean? Is Allah opened that huge opportunity for you to be good to the people that raised you, to be good to the people that took care of you, to just repay part, and you can never pay full, part of what they have done. and then not enter paradise. What does that mean? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you take care of this, Allah will give you paradise. Jannah. Isn't that what we strive for? إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say the word uff. A gesture, just a small gesture of being rude to them or not respectful enough. My dear young brothers and sisters, think about that. Think about that when you talk to your parents. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't even say that uff, don't be rude to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak to them in the most honorable of ways. Do you respect your teacher at school? Do you respect your principal at school? Do you respect your boss at work? Do you respect the police officer when they pull you over? You should respect your parents a lot more. You should address your parents in more respect. Because they are the one who are worthy of the utmost authority upon you. The one in charge at school or at work or the authority, they have not raised you. They did not stay up at night when you were sick. They did not wipe your nose. They did not take care of you. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower the wings of humbleness out of mercy to them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. And say, oh Allah, have mercy upon them. See how many rahmah. وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. And say, oh Allah, have mercy upon them. كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them as they raised me when I was little. There is nothing that the parents would ask of us that is too much. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, my father took my money. My father is overburdening me with financial issues." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idhhab fa'tini bih." Go bring your father to me. And at that time, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, ask the man when he comes what was in his heart, what he's thinking." So the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, started defending himself. He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, ask him, هل أنفقته إلا على عماته أو خالاته أو على نفسي. I've not took this money to waste it. I was spending it on his aunts, on his uncles, on people of need in his family. That's what I was using the money for." The Prophet ﷺ said, دعنا من هذا. Just don't worry about that. And tell us what you were thinking. And the man recited poetry that is narrated in the book of Hadith. غذوتك مولودا ومنتك يافعة تعل بما أجني عليك وتنهل إذا ليلة ضاقتك بالسقم لم أبت لسقمك إلا ساهرا أتململ كأني أنا المطروق دونك بالذي طرقت بك دوني فعيناك تهمل فلما بلغ السن مني والغاية التي إليها مدى ما فيك كنت أؤمل جعلت جزائي غلظة وفضاضة كأنك أنت المنعم المتفضل. Now you cannot translate Arabic poetry really to give it its due right. At least I'm not, definitely not capable of that. But the man was saying to his son, now you're coming to me as if you have the upper hand upon me. And you forget those nights that I spent with you. And when you were sick, as if I was the one that was hurting. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at that man and he said, اذهب أنت ومالك ليبيك. Go. You come to complain about your father. You and your money belong to your father. There is nothing that we can do to repay our parents for what they do for us, brothers and sisters. Ya Rasulullah, man ahaqqu an-nasi bi suhbati? Qala ummuk. Qala thumma man? Qala ummuk. Qala thumma man? Qala ummuk. Qala thumma man? Qala abuk. Who are the ones who are most worthy with my companionship? With me being good with them? He said, your mother. And then he said, then who? Your mother. Then who? Your mother. Then who? Your father. It's not your friends at school. It is not your friends anywhere. It's not the people that are worthy more of your attention and your time other than your parents. And first, second and third would be your mother. So that one man was good to his parents. And that helped him in this life and helped him for his story to be narrated to the Day of Judgment on the narration of the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second person, his good deed was al-iffah. Was that he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew that his desires, he had a lot of desire for that woman. He said, I loved her more than anyone could love any man could love a woman. And she was right there for him. But then he remembered the word ittaqillah. Ittaqillah, fear Allah. And he feared Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that zina, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Do not even come close. لَا تَقْرَبُ. Don't commit, don't come close. لَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Allah didn't say لَا تَزْنُو. لَا تَقْرَبُ. Don't come close, meaning don't take a path. Don't do something that might potentially, ultimately lead to that major sin of lewdness that Allah hates. لا تقربوا الزنا. Anything that leads to that. إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. So the look in our eyes, that's why we Islam takes all these prevention measures. النظرة سهم مسموم من سهام الشيطان. The Prophet ﷺ said that a look is a poisoned arrow from Iblis, from Shaytan. Lower your gaze. Do not be alone with the woman. مَا خَلَى رَجُلٌ بِمْرَأَةٍ إِلَّا كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ ثَالِثَهُمَا. There is not a man that is alone with the woman unless Shaytan is a third. Do not fuel those desires. My beloved young brothers and sisters, Allah wants us to be above all of these lewd and dirty acts. And Allah says, do not come close to it. Avoid the things that might lead to it. That might lead to it. And think about that. And Allah allowed us an outlet in marriage, and things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sanctioned Himself. And when people are young, they think the day when they get married and become, it may be way, way too far. But train your heart for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the parents that fear for their children to go into this slippery road, in their heart, let it grow the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Teach them more of their religion. And the more they have, the more sincerity they have, the more manners and the more iffah, chastity, they will have in their own heart. And the third person had amana. He had trustworthiness. He had an amana. He would not take something that is not his. And he would grow that money for someone else. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْطُوا الْأَجِيرَ حَقَّهُ قَبْلَ يَجِفَّ عَرَقُهُ. Give a person his due or her due right before their sweat dries. Give them their money, give them their rights. If they did their part of the bargain, you have to do yours. And don't abuse people, don't take advantage of them. Whether they're documented or not documented, whether they're strong or weak, whether they can go and sue you, whether they cannot go and sue you. Don't take advantage of people. Just because one person has certain circumstances, we have a new wave of slavery right now. Labor. Where people take advantage of people because they have no other choice. And that is tatfif. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. Give people their rights and have amana. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة ومن كنت خصمه فقد خصمته. And of them, رجل استأجر أجيرا فاستوفى منه ثم لم يعطه أجرا. His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are certain type of people, three types, that I will be their adversary on the day of judgment. And the one that I stand before him on the day of judgment as their adversary, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself will prosecute those people before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, one of them is a man who hired a person and did not pay him his due right. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم وأستغفر الله العظيم لكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه وتوبوا إليه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Come closer as much as you can, inshallah, and give room for those in the back. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. There's a lot of benefits that we take from the story that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم shared with us. One of them, these three people, they were doing all of these things, all of these good things, not when they were trapped in a cave. They were not, when we are trapped, when we are in dire straits, we are in desperate times, we are ready to do anything to please Allah. Allah does describe those who are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're out in the sea and the sea is stormy. دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They all turn to Allah and they're all sincere. It is not at that time when they were doing the good deeds. They were doing it in a raha. They were doing it in good times. So let's do good deeds now that will benefit us when we are trapped behind that big rock. This is a very metaphorical rock. And many of us, have you ever found yourself trapped in something? Have you ever found yourself behind a rock that you just cannot move? That no one else can move for you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have not, you will. And this is the time when we are in good times, when we are capable of doing these good deeds, to do them and do them diligently and do them sincerely. So when we are trapped behind that rock, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move that rock for us. And the The other thing that is so important about this hadith, and when you read the book of Riyad al-Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous, you will see that this hadith is narrated under Bab al-Ikhlas and Niyyah. Because those three people, every time when they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they made that intercession to Him with these good deeds, they said, "Oh Allah, if I did this only for Your sake, if I did only this only for Your face, then move that rock for us." And that sincerity, that ikhlas is what saved them. Because they did the good deed not because of anything else other than to be sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do it for His own sake and for nothing else. Al-ikhlas, that sincerity, when we do anything, whether it's salah, whether it's siyam, whether it's hajj, whether it's dealing with our brothers and sisters, with our parents, that sincerity is the main condition for that deed to be accepted. The ulama said there are two rukuns, two arkan, two cornerstones, two conditions for any of our deeds to be accepted. The first of all is sincerity. If that deed is sincere for the sake of Allah. And the second thing is to be on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not to be a new bid'ah, a new innovation in the religion of Allah. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. A small short hadith. Every one of you, our young and old brothers and sisters, can memorize that hadith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Three words. If you can remember only this part of this hadith, it's a longer hadith, but this is the part that leads to it. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Deeds are based on the intentions. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said that's one third of our deen, that one hadith. These three words that the Prophet ﷺ uttered, this is the one third of our sharia. Because without these intentions, there is no good deed that can be accepted. That's what saved those people. And that's what would save us, inshallah. Because we are, as a community, feel sometimes we're trapped behind a rock that we just cannot do much about. As an ummah, we feel the rocks piling, not one rock, but rocks are piling at our cave door, cave gate, cave opening. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove those. But the deeds have to stop with us, have to start with us. We have to be sincere, and we have to direct all of that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to give us sincerity in our hearts, sincerity in our deeds, sincerity in our tongues, to cleanse our hearts from nifaq, to cleanse our deeds from riya, and to cleanse our tongues from kadhib. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.